This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Well, our next guest, we caught up with him last summer, about a year ago. We talked real estate. We talked VC investing. Great to have back with us David Adelman. He is founder and CEO of his family office, Darko Capital. He's also CEO of Campus Apartments. It's a national provider of on and off campus housing units, more than $2 billion in assets under management. David is also chairman of a new development company, 76 Dev Corp, responsible for developing the future home of the Philadelphia 76ers. So, Tim, we've got a lot to talk about.
We're very pleased to have David with us this afternoon. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I want to get your view on the macro right now and just start with real estate, because we've been getting some concerning signals when it comes to economic data about a slowdown and, in fact, a seizing of the real estate market. From where you sit as founder and CEO of Campus Apartments, as CEO, I should say, of Campus Apartments and founder and CEO of Darko Capital, how does it look to you?
Well, what you're seeing is, you know, as rates continue to rise, that's certainly going to, you know, affect the value of real estate, you know, right? Because, you know, as the rates go up, the debt service coverage goes up and it ultimately affects the value. I think you're also seeing, concern, you know, for example, the commercial real estate market is, you know, what's the future of office? Are people going back? Of course they are, but is it going to be at the same level? Will people keep the same amount of office space they had before? And, you know, and the same holds true for retail. Will that be as robust as it was prior to the pandemic? And so I think there's some pressure coming.
Pressure coming or a major rethink about how much corporate real estate we need, office space, and how much retail space? I mean, it's interesting. You know, you walk out, David, our offices here at Bloomberg headquarters smack, you know, here on the east side, not far off of Midtown Manhattan, but there are many retail spaces that are no longer, you know, there. The Gap, Banana Republic,
H&M,
the Container Story, H&M. It's just one after another in terms
Starbucks
of vacancies.
Starbucks downstairs too.
Yeah, exactly. So do you, you're someone who understands the space, have played within it for a long time, and we're going to get into some of the work that you guys are looking to do in terms of Philadelphia in specifically, but do you think we are at a juncture, at a point where it's going to be a major rethink, really, in terms of how we reuse kind of commercial space, retail space that doesn't come back to where it was pre-pandemic?
Well, I think it comes back differently. Okay, so I think that, you know, retail's not dead. It's not going away. But, you know, was there a little too much? Did certain store, you know, some of the retailers you mentioned, did they overexpand and this gives them the opportunity to right size? And so I think it's going to take, you know, a couple of years to find what that new normal is. But, you know, it's not dead. It's going to come back. But, it, you know, will it be as robust as it was previously? I don't think so.
Where is the opportunity that you're seeing right now?
Well, certainly, look, and I don't own apartments in New York City, but, you know, I am just blown away by the rebound in residential in New York City. So, you know, residential has always been a safe bet. It looks like it continues to be a safe bet, certainly in New York and across the country. You know, hospitality is starting to make a comeback, you know, certainly on the premium end. But that business traveler, you know, you saw Google announce that they are going to curtail business travel. So that's going to have an effect. I'm sure, you know, a lot of other companies kind of take the lead from that. So will that affect kind of that, you know, limited service hotel that kind of frequents the business traveler? Probably.
So, and, you know, we talked at the beginning talking about, you know, you've been investing in student housing, campus apartments on and off campus for a long time. Just take us back there, you know, and, you know, remind us what it was like during the pandemic and how it's been coming out of the pandemic. Do you still like campus housing as an investment? You have a fair amount of exposure.
Yeah, and not just because I have a fair amount of it. I would say that, you know, it really exceeded expectations during the pandemic. What we found was that students who transitioned home for a semester or so during the pandemic realized that living at home with mom and dad while they're doing their Zoom calls and
what,
they had
why are
classes.
We all laughing right now? Carol, why are you
right,
laughing?
Well, listen, mom and dad actually wanted them to go back to school and the student wanted to go back to school. So it was kind of a, you know, everyone was aligned in the same factor. You know, we collected 98% of our revenue during COVID. So for us, you know, while, you know, it was certainly a strain on labor and our workforce and things like that, it wasn't from an economic perspective. And just based on our pre-leasing activity, we, you know, we just moved our students in, you know, in August, and we already have I got pictures this morning of a property of ours in Knoxville, Tennessee, where the students were lined up to get in line to get access to the new release for next year.
Wow.
So I think, you know, student housing is one of those, you know, it was recession resistant during the Great Recession and proved really well during COVID.
That's because mom and dad pay the bill, right?
That's
largely.
The credit is good.
Hey, David, I'm wondering if there are any bigger sort of things at play here when you think about the evolution of education in this country 10, 20, 30 years down the line. Do we see remote education taking off? Do we see college getting too expensive the way that it is now, and that leads to a decline in the number or even portion of people who are leaving home to actually go live off campus?
So, you know, a couple of things. I think, you know, in the mid-2000s, as the online learning was kind of starting to come out, people said, well, this replaced college. And, you know, we always believed that it was a great supplement. And I think COVID really drove that home that you can't replicate the college experience and the education of the self that happens when you're away from home. And so I don't see it going away. I think, you know, online learning will continue to supplement someone to make sure they graduate on time or their summer class or, you know, maybe the large first year lecture halls are done by Zoom and then they have the smaller breakout cohorts. But I just don't think you replace that. Now, do I think that, you know, the cost of college is, you know, outpacing inflation? Absolutely. I think that there needs to be a reset from the standpoint of what's the value of the college proposition, like that you picked, the graduation rate, what's the, you know, first year starting salary from that school. And so, you know, there's almost 5,000 colleges and universities. I think a lot of them probably have a troubled business model that may not make it. But I don't think, you know, as a whole, the college industry is going to be.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. The passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
All right, so I want to get to, speaking of resets, some of what you guys are all trying to do in Philadelphia. I was there recently. You know, it's a city that has so much and yet also struggles a lot. Tell us about what's going on in downtown Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're excited to announce in mid-August that we're going to develop a new arena, a downtown home for the Philadelphia 76ers, couldn't be more excited to do it with my partners, Josh Harris and David Blitzer, who are the owners of the Sixers. And just what this is going to do is accomplish a few things. One, build a world-class facility for our team to win championships in. But more importantly, we found a spot in the middle of downtown Philadelphia. I kind of call it the center of the donut that has just been missed and gives us the chance to take a portion of a mall that has been downtown Philly for 48 years and reinvigorated into a, you know, a world-class arena.
So go ahead, Carol.
Well, where are you in this process?
So we just announced it. You know, we're going through the, you know, kind of community process, the entitlements, the approvals, and we're slated to open up. You know, we want to play our first games in 2031.
All right. So,
we've got a little bit of time.
So tell me how you're thinking of beyond the arena and the revitalization in the area. Like, what specifically, obviously the arena is the anchor here, but what's your vision for the surrounding area?
So a couple things. One, it's a $1.3 billion arena that's going to create 9,000 construction jobs, which we're really excited about, and 1,000 permanent jobs. And because still, you know, so many other cities have done a great job in creating this kind of urban entertainment venue where people can come before and after games and spill onto the streets and, you know, frequent the local restaurants and businesses. And, you know, for that to happen in Philadelphia is just really exciting. So we think it's just going to be an economic catalyst for downtown Philly.
And this is all private funding, correct? That's the plan here?
That is the plan. We will not be taking any city dollars. Philadelphia is one of the poorest big cities in the country. My partners and I just didn't think it was appropriate to go after any money and, you know, really wanted to do something great for the city.
Well,
I was just wondering if that includes tax incentives as well.
Yeah, that's correct. No tax incentives.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting. No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Philadelphia has a program for the other stadiums and arenas related to how real estate taxes are paid, and we'll be part of that program.
You know, David, and this is certainly not apples to apples, but, you know, we've done some coverage and some broadcasts from Atlantic City and, you know, when the Hard Rock opened and just, you know, talking about revitalization of that area, and it still struggles so much. What is crucial in order to, you know, you can put the stadium there, but what's crucial in order to make this a success and really make it a game changer when it comes to the Philadelphia economy?
Yeah, I think that probably the difference from between this and Atlantic City is Philadelphia really has gone through a tremendous renaissance in most parts of the downtown. This happens to be, to be specific, it's kind of on Market Street between 11th and 8th Street. It's just this one little hub of Market Street that's kind of been passed over, mainly because there's been this mall there forever. And so I think we plan on just kind of drafting off the success of other businesses and restaurants and nightlife that's been happening in Philly and just enhance that.
Does it also mean that a lot of people who've been living there are going to be squeezed out as a result?
No, I think the good news for us is, you know, we will not displace one business or one resident in the building of this arena. We're literally taking a portion of a mall, knocking that down, and building it on top of that footprint, which happens to be on top of the busiest transit stop in Philadelphia.
Okay, this doesn't happen for a couple of years or you don't start building. Do you have a year, though, that you're thinking that you're going to start breaking ground?
Yeah, we'll start breaking ground. Demolition will start in 2025.
Okay, going to leave it there. Hey, really great to check in with you. I know we didn't get to play with the VC space too much with you, but maybe you can come back and give us an update on that in maybe the months to come. David Adelman, he's founder and CEO, as we mentioned, of his family office, Darko Capital, CEO of Campus Apartments, but chairman also of a new development company, 76 Dev Corp, which is responsible for developing the future home of the Philadelphia 76ers.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.